And welcome into the Doug Russell Podcast Weekend Edition, Breaking News Edition again. Just like we had a week ago, this time it is a hiring and not a firing at Marquette as Shaka Smart becomes the new head coach, the 18th head coach in Marquette basketball history. He's a native of Madison. He grew up in Oregon, Wisconsin, and he leaves the University of Texas after a six-year run with some success in the regular season. However, not much success in March. But how will that translate to Marquette? We're not going to waste any time. We're going to jump right into this with the same guy that we spoke to a week ago when Steve Wojciechowski was fired. We're so happy to have him back here on the Doug Russell Podcast again from Paint Touches. Andre Greska joining us here on the show. Andre, I appreciate the time. I know it's been a busy Friday for you, so thanks so much for joining me on the show.
No, thanks for having me on, and definitely a much more positive sort of vibe today, obviously, with a hiring than a firing, but lots of news every week, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So give me your initial feelings, your initial thoughts when you first got the news today that Shaka Smart was the guy at Marquette.
Yeah, I mean, surprise, I think, is the main word I would use, because when we made our initial list last week, and my colleague Ryan, he's very plugged in, he made a list of about 30 coaches, and Shaka wasn't included. Not that Shaka's a bad coach or wouldn't be a good fit. We didn't think they would be realistic. This happened all over a week, where just last Friday we're talking about Steve Wojciechowski ending his tenure, and now 1 week later you're talking about Shaka Smart, one of the hottest names in coaching just a couple of years ago, someone who has done it at a high level at Texas, now becoming the coach at Marquette. Like, it's a surprise. Like, how in the world did Marquette get this to go? So once you get past the initial kind of reaction, I think it's a perfect fit. And I know a lot of times it's easy to get enamored with the new guy, and it's easy to say, well, you know, you're not seeing his flaws, or we'll see what you're saying in a couple years. But in terms of what Shaka has done, what Marquette needs, it is a perfect marriage. Shaka needed a new place to start because, like you already mentioned, his March resume is non-existent. Zero wins and three trips. A very embarrassing loss to Abilene Christian this just past week. So he's feeling heat. He's definitely not the new guy on campus at Texas anymore. So what he gets from Marquette is an opportunity to kind of imprint himself on a national landscape again, with a little bit less expectations, a little bit less of the spotlight on him, but just as many resources and just as good a quality in terms of a program as Texas.
Of course, 7 years ago, that was the rumor that not Steve Wojciechowski, but rather Shaka Smart, the quote-unquote done deal that I think we yep. all remember. But 7 years ago, I mean, you're looking at a guy who took VCU to the Final Four. Now, that was a decade ago, but still got the most out of a small program. Then he goes to the big program. Then he goes to the University of Texas. They've got all the resources in the world in Austin. And as we both kind of mentioned so far, not that much success in the month of March. I know that it would have blown, I think, everybody away 7 years ago. But now that he has had that resume, I guess, of going to the big program in the big conference and not had that much March success, how much trepidation do you think some Marquette fans might have because of that specifically?
I think there is some in terms of the volume of feedback I've gotten, mostly overwhelmingly positive, but the ones that have been a little bit more reserved said, well, we were just on a coach because he couldn't win in March. Now you have someone who couldn't win in March with more resources at a bigger program. But the thing that I would say is that his record isn't just about March. Yes, the VCU Final Four definitely put him on the map. Yes, he's gone to the tournament more often than not in his coaching career, and he hasn't really been past the second round since 2013, so that is definitely a sticking point. But when you're talking about a program, you can't just think about March. You have to really identify, okay, is he going to bring in the right people? Is he going to run a clean program? And is he going to win on a regular basis? And when you look at Shaka underneath the hood and past the glossy veneer of March, he has won pretty high level his whole career. And again, not to get too analytical here, but he's had a top 40 defense basically every single time he stepped on the court with a program. And that's not something that's just luck. It's not something about players. He did it with VCU. He did it with Texas, again, recruiting at a much higher level. So that takes talent and that takes ability. And when you're thinking about March in the grand scheme of things, I think it's important to understand that it's not just about whether you win that one game. It's about if you're getting enough opportunities to get there. Are you getting a high enough seed? When you get there, like, how do you perform? His three losses in Texas are all by single digits, literally buzzer beaters or last minute foul sort of situation. So when you actually drill down a little bit, I think the March resume, while still a hole, and obviously any Texas fan will tell you, like, well, yeah, but he couldn't win the big one. He couldn't win when it counted. It doesn't worry me as much as some like to think.
Over the last couple of decades, and I hesitate to draw a parallel between Marquette and its in-state arch rival, but bear with me for just a second. One of the things that Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin has done, I think, pretty well over the course of his tenure as athletic director is get guys that are from the state of Wisconsin that want to stay in Madison, whether it's Greg Gard with the basketball program, whether it's Paul Christ with the football program, because he's gone outside a couple of times, right, with Gary Anderson, yeah. And that was a disaster. Tony Granato with the men's hockey program, Mark Johnson with the women's hockey program. They've had a lot of success. How much comfort do you have with Shaka Smart as someone who's from the state of Wisconsin, who knows what he's getting himself into in this state because he grew up in Oregon, Wisconsin, and is so familiar and has been so familiar with this Marquette program that he's now taking over?
I think for basketball, it's a little bit different. Just that there's fewer players and there's fewer higher quality recruits within the state of Wisconsin in a given year. So yes, while it is important to grab them, I don't think it's vital in terms of the health of a program, simply because some of the past coaches that Marquette has had haven't won with the big with Wisconsin guys per se. So yeah, Buzz Williams landed Vanderblue, and he played with, obviously he used Wesley Matthews, two big Wisconsin guys. But then when you have the Jaron Maimons of the world that ended up leaving after a year, and then when you think of the big Buzz players, you think of the Jimmy Butlers, the Jay Crowders, they really didn't have a connection to Marquette at all. Now you think of, obviously, Steve Wojciechowski. He landed the Housers, which was huge at the time. It definitely signaled his dominance of Wisconsin recruiting, per se. But that was short-lived and didn't really turn out positively for him or for anyone involved with that situation. So when it comes to recruiting, I do think there is value, and particularly when there's the Patrick Baldwins of the world that kind of have these ties. But basketball is so different. We're one player can really make such a big difference, and the AAU network and his Team USA ties really make the country a lot smaller in terms of recruiting. I don't think it's necessary to lock up the state or to secure in-state commitments. And with that being said, one of his commitments at Texas for this 2021 recruiting class is David Joplin, who is from Wisconsin, who actually had Marquette as one of his dream schools, quote-unquote, but obviously ended up signing with Shaka when Marquette didn't offer. So that's someone I might be looking at when you're talking about how is his recruiting going to translate in-state. That would be one of the first really big tests. Not that he won't be able to succeed if he doesn't land him, but it kind of be telling what the in-state recruits are kind of thinking about him as a whole.
Andre Dreska from Agreska from Paint Touch is joining us here on the Doug Russell podcast. Shaka Smart hired as Marquette's 18th men's basketball coach. We all know that in a results-oriented business, it's all about wins and losses, and that's what ultimately led Steve Wojciechowski to be fired a week ago. But what outside of wins and losses, in your opinion, as someone who's been as close to this program as you have been, as someone who went to Marquette, what outside of those wins and losses will make Shaka Smart succeed at Marquette, in your opinion?
I think connecting to previous players is big, and Steve Wojciechowski did that very, very well. One of the first times I ended up talking to him, and obviously Travis Diener, who came on as director of basketball operations, the first thing he did is he called basically every single ex-player and said, "Hey, I know this isn't my program. This is your program. I want you to feel like you're involved. I want you to feel like you belong, because guess what? You built it. I'm just trying to carry the mantle." And I think that matters for a school like Marquette that has history, that has a lot of NBA players that are still representing the school. You have the Juan Toscano Andersons of the world who are hitting up previous managers on Twitter were, hey, can I get a Marquette jersey? Can I get some gear? I think with a school like Marquette, where even though it does have a national profile, it has a very regional kind of mentality. When you kind of secure that pipeline of what has made it special, even with past coaches, whether you're a Korean recruit or whether you're a Buzz recruit, whether you're a Woj recruit, that if you have this connection to Marquette, like, you aren't just welcome, you are here. Like, I'm here because of you. And I think that will be one of the biggest things, because to be fair, I don't know much about how he did that at Texas. I wasn't paying attention. I haven't really dug in deeply. And that's not to say he can't win over X players with winning on the court, but making them feel like, just because there's a new coach doesn't mean this isn't your program. I think that speaks volumes to the kind of person the coach is and the kind of program he wants to run. Because again, we measure wins and losses on a year-by-year basis, but the program's going to be here longer than the coach. So when he kind of takes that mentality into his first day, his first week, his first year, where I'm just building on what other people have put to this to get to this point, I think that speaks volumes again to what his long-term kind of success will be outside of the wins and losses.
I think a lot of us assume that Marquette might wait for Porter Moser, his Loyola Ramblers. They're in the Sweet 16. Of course, they made that Final Four run a few years ago as well. Were you surprised at all that they didn't at least make a play for him?
A bit. Yesterday, I'm sorry, I think on Thursday or Wednesday, Matt Norlander from CBS Sports had a very glowing column basically saying, speaking to Porter Moser, like, if it's between Indiana and Marquette, you should pick Marquette because it's a better program. Not that it's a more high profile or it's a better job, but the expectations are lower, the facilities are just as good, the investment is just as good, and you can really make a name for yourself long-term, winning at a lower level than at some place like Indiana, where it's basically Final Four or get out of here. So I think the national mood was kind of making that connection. Porter Moser was ex-Majerus aide, so obviously he still talks a lot about that connection, Majerus being a former Marquette coach and having huge Marquette ties from the Al McGuire days. And then his big sticking point when he was offered the job in for St. John's was he wanted to stay in Chicago. And as many will joke, basically Marquette is just Chicago North because there's so many North, there's many Chicago South and Northsiders that attend there anyway. So it felt like a perfect fit. It really did. But frankly, I am glad that they didn't go that route. Not that Porter Moser is a bad coach. Obviously, he's proven his worth. One Final Four run, another Sweet 16 with Loyola, which hadn't done anything in decades. So he has value, and he probably still has value, and Indiana probably still look at him closely. But it seems like a lot of his worth was built off of a couple of runs versus a tenure. And that's not to say he can't translate those runs going forward at a bigger place with more facilities, with a bigger budget. But it felt like more of a gamble. And as we talked last week, Marquette was in a precarious position where if they messed up this hire, now you're not just talking about a one and done sort of blame the coach. Now you're talking about, is this program good? Like, is it worth it? Are we becoming DePaul? And I think even though a lot of people feel Porter Moser was a safer choice, it was a longer view. I don't think Porter would have been expected to win right away. Everyone would have said he needs a couple years. He's got to step up to this level. He's got to recruit. He's never done it at this level. He's got to instill his system. With Shaka, I think expectations are already high. Obviously, we don't even know who's going to leave, who's going to go. The roster is tenuous. There's so many transfer implications. We don't know which recruits are going to stay or go. But with him, you know he's done it at a level that's above Marquette's. At the Big 12, he's recruited a top 20 recruiting class six out of his 7 years when he was at Texas, with the 1 year being a number 9 recruit that ended up in the NBA. So again, I am surprised that they went for it. But I'm more surprised that it kind of happened so quickly, because it is, I think, a shorter timeline towards success versus someone like Porter Moser.
What was your first reaction? I was really surprised. You talked about the timing. To me, that's what was the most shocking of anything of this entire process, because I figured that Bill Scholl might have taken his time a little bit more.
I think, surprise again, that is definitely it. So obviously you hear things here and there, you don't know what to believe or not. But earlier this week, I had heard that it was between Shaka and Porter Moser, and that there was some discrepancy between the board and the AL, basically, like who was gonna win out. And frankly, the timing makes a lot of sense. I don't know if you follow the transfer market, but it's impossible to follow at this point. Like every 2 minutes, someone else is entering the transfer
Yeah, we know Kobe
portal.
McEwen's in it now.
Yeah,
He was the latest
and
one.
Jamal Kane, I think, too, a little bit
Oh, yeah,
ago.
there you go.
So it's impossible. With that being said, that means the possibilities for rebuilding a team on the fly are endless. So if you wait on someone like Porter, who knows? Like he has a very good chance to be coaching in 2 weeks, not just this weekend. He's going to be favored against Oregon State, and if he wins that, he's probably going to be a toss-up against Houston or favored against someone else on that side. But that ends up hurting your program if you have to wait that long. Not that, again, Porter might be worth it, and that's not to say that hiring someone just because you want to keep your team or you want to get in on recruits is a good idea long term. But I think it does make sense in what is turning out to be the wildest of Wild Wests that you lock down your coach, you work on your team this weekend, and then once you figure out who's staying and who's leaving, then you know, okay, this is what I need, this is what I got to get, this is who I got to call.
Yeah, and here's the thing, if you do wait with Porter Moser, because you bring up a great point, he might still be coaching in 2 weeks. Let's say it is Marquette and Indiana. One of those teams is going to get their coach. One of them isn't, and then you're so far behind the eight ball because of exactly what you're saying, and then it almost becomes a bidding war.
And I think, I mean, not that I have any sort of reference into what kind of pockets we're talking about, but Matt Norlander was saying a $3 million starting base salary for Porter Moser, which again, maybe Shaka's getting that, maybe not. I don't have any sort of clue on the contract details, but we're talking about big money, and we're not going to win a bidding war with Indiana. Like that's for sure. If they want Porter Moser, and if Porter Moser's saying, okay, who's going to give me the most money, that's not going to be a fight that Marquette would win. So this way, like I said, you hire someone who's proven himself at the highest of levels. You hire someone who can recruit right away, and you hire someone who can work from you from day one versus hoping that that someone will say yes to you when there's a lot of openings at the moment.
Andre Greska from Paint Touch is joining us here for just a couple more moments on the Doug Russell podcast. Tell us what you've got coming up on Paint Touches as you kind of wrap your arms around this story moving forward with Shaka Smart.
Yeah, so I kind of started touching on it on a little Twitter thread, but basically a reaction of what just happened. So we do have a newser of he was hired. Again, officially, unofficially, there hasn't been an announcement, but
did you see the tweet from one of the student journalists?
Yes, Marquette? John Luzzi. He did a great job.
That's confirmation for me. I don't know.
That works. That's true. No, if Lovell says that it's true, if Theo Giannis says it's true, then that works for me. But yeah, we'll kind of have a bit more of an opinion inside, because it's been a whirlwind of a week. I mean, we've gone from saying, oh man, the Marquette's in a bad place, to holy cow, Marquette just made an amazing decision all within like 7 days, and that kind of takes a little bit of time to digest. So we'll kind of dig into what does this mean for Marquette, what does this mean for the roster, and what does this mean for a program going forward.
He is Andre Greska from Paint Touches. Andre, I appreciate you jumping on. I know it's been a busy week for you. I know it's been a busy Friday for you as well. Man, this was a story that I didn't think we'd be talking about so soon, but I do think that Marquette got a great coach in Shaka Smart. Now just needs to translate into some of those wins in March that you and I have been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Appreciate the time, and we'll be talking again, I hope, and certainly we'll check you out on Paint Touches.
Definitely appreciate the time.
Thanks, Andre. There he goes. Andre Greska joining us from Paint Touches. And just as we wrap up the conversation there, I just kind of flipped over to Twitter and wanted to check the Marquette basketball Twitter page just to see if there had been any official announcement. We knew that there had already been an official statement, as we talked about at the end there, when President Michael Lovell was coming out of the Al McGuire Center and was asked by a student journalist, how do you feel about Shaka Smart coming to Marquette? And he said he's excited about it. Well, it has now officially, just moments ago, again, as I tape this, just after 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. This is the tweet, again, moments ago. It's official. Please help us welcome home Shaka Smart and his family to the Marquette University and Marquette University basketball family. And then they have the news release, which is tagged in the tweet as well. And as I open up the release, I'm kind of thumbing through it right now. It is quite long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can go to gomarquette.com if you want to read the whole thing. But it does confirm what we've been talking about. Shaka Smart as the release begins. Shaka Smart has been named the 18th head coach of the Marquette University men's basketball program. Vice President and Director of Athletics Bill Scholl announced on Friday. The university will hold a press conference on Monday, March 29th, time TBA at the Al McGuire Center to formally introduce Smart. In accordance with the university's COVID-19 protocols, there will be limited attendance and socially distanced seating will be utilized. The press conference will also be streamed live on GoMarquette.com. And then you've got the usual quotes from Bill Scholl, from Michael Lovell, and then from Shaka Smart himself. And again, I could read the whole thing, but I don't think anybody wants to listen to me read for what could be about 10 minutes or so. But suffice to say, yes, it is official and shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, as we've been talking about. If you've been listening to Sports Talk Radio or this podcast at all, Shaka Smart officially the head men's basketball coach at Marquette University. All right, that'll do it for this special breaking news edition of the program. My thanks again to Andre Greska from Paint Touches for joining me once again here on the show. Always enjoy his perspectives as well. Check out his great stuff at painttouches.com. And also check our social media pages out as well. You can always email the show, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and on Twitter, at DougRussellPod. Search for us on Facebook and on YouTube. And for all of our shows, free downloads for all of them, our socials all in one very easy, convenient place. Just go to www.DougRussellPod.com, all smushed together, DougRussellPod.com. That'll do it for this special breaking news edition of the show. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.